right. Good morning, everybody. Friday morning. It's the 4th of April, and we are live. We're here to stick it out with you for 2 hours this morning in the month that is pockmarked with public holidays. Try and say that if you've just woken up, which is pretty much what happened with me this morning. Anyway, we've got Ben and Simpiwe running the show from Johannesburg and me in my house, which is terrific. I'm looking at my dog who's going like, what the fuck are you doing? She hasn't seen this in a long time. All right, how's everybody? Are we in winter mode yet? I see Ben's dressed for winter. Simpiwe's dressed for winter. Is that what's going on, guys?
Well, you know, yes. Joburg's relentless obsession with becoming the world's first industrial area tropical rainforest. It does make for chilly mornings in April.
Wow, you're so right. It's now a tropical rainforest. I mean, last night, I was at this event, which was, it started at like 6 in the afternoon, ended at like 9:30. And it was an awards dinner at the Ananda Club, which is beautiful, right? And so if you've ever been there, you know, you've got this magnificent view. In the background, I mean, I've been there during the day for polo things, which, I mean, these are snooty kind of, you know, rich people events, but it's beautiful. I mean, you get this huge big field with this immaculate grass on it. And directly across from the field where, you know, people are standing there are hay bales, and they can actually, like, horses can walk there. It's beautiful. And then if you look at the skyline just behind that, you see these buildings, you know, Sandton in all of its majesty. And I took a picture of it yesterday and actually said, you know, Joburg and people who call Joburg an ugly place, they just don't know which parts of Joburg to go to because it's really pretty. And even with the rain coming down and the fact that it was a pretty gloomy day, there's something very special about Joburg when it rains. It doesn't feel like, I mean, because a high fault thunderstorm is one thing, right? But when we had the kind of rain that we had yesterday, weather can be very boring to talk about. But it's pretty. It's magical. Feels like you're in a movie sometimes. So even the ugly days are way prettier than some people give credit for.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like all places in the world. Everywhere's pretty if you've got money. And Ananda's great. Like, you can actually physically have a horse there. And then you are like a 5-minute Uber from Sandton City. It's great.
Yeah, spot on. Yeah, it's wild. And everything is looking so damn good. And we've got to enjoy this while it lasts, because the green is not something that we're going to be used to in the middle of winter. So, like, enjoy it while it's there. And I got into a conversation because the guys from Swing City, which is Lois Obala and Graham and Nathan, who've both been guests on the show here, they were all saying, and Lois not there, but he had a stand-in last night, but they were talking to me about how beautiful the garden is. And I said to them, geez, guys, you know, and I've known them both for like 15 years. I go, gee, you know, this is how you could tell you're old. It's because you take more pleasure in the garden. I said to them, 12 years ago, we would have been talking about cars and women and way more exciting things than this. But now we're like, oh, you must see how good my garden looks in the rain. It's true, though.
Well, in fairness, let's put that in perspective. That's because there are no good-looking women in their lives in that age.
I think that's a you problem right there.
No, it's a guys over 40 age problem.
Yeah, there are a lot of beautiful women in South Africa.
No, I'm saying in their lives. I'm not saying in their lives.
They are. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've seen a lot of women who are aging very gracefully, and it's like, well, I think, you know, that's the standard now, and so I assume that everybody, you know, knows very hot, sexy older ladies.
So, look, it exists in this world. I'm just saying that for the general guy out there, once they get into the age, that's not in their sphere anymore. It's just not, okay? Don't feel like I'm attacking women here. Just relax.
This always happens whenever you talk about anything. If you're talking about a category thing with women, they always immediately assume you're talking about them,
yeah,
no matter what it is.
Like, they're so good at that, huh? Wow.
You'd be like, so good. You know, I took a walk yesterday and I noticed that, you know, the sun went down at 6 a.m. and I didn't see that. I took it at 6.
Yeah. It was 6:10.
Okay, yeah, okay, fine. I get it, guys. Thank you so much.
honestly, if you sit down, and I've done this with, like I'm saying, girls who I love and admire and respect, who are friends of mine, you'll sit down and you'll say, you know, the study shows that there's some new study out, like we talk about every other day on this show. Apparently in this study, it says that women prefer popcorn over potato chips. And then invariably, there's going to be a girl that goes, I don't. I prefer potato chip. You'll be like, oh. I promise you, this wasn't about you until just like 5 seconds ago. But to give some balance to this conversation, both Graham and Nathan, Jono, are both married. So they have women in their lives, unlike Ben and I. But the gardening thing, it's weird. Like, I look at my parents. They
love that.
They love the garden, right? It gives them such joy. And I think I'm getting like that. I was walking around yesterday and I looked at in the same place that I was at, these perfectly manicured little gardens with hedges and like little flowers in them. And I was like, these are very beautiful. These are very beautiful gardens. I could actually feel myself turning into like an old guy. But I think there's something about being appreciative of beauty around you.
It is. It's beauty. It's back to my point. You talk about the beauty you have, and when you're younger, that beauty is, let's be honest, it's hot chicks. As you get older, the beauty changes. It evolves. It softens. And yeah, that's a wonderful thing. It's like you would love a 2-seater sports car, but when you have kids, there's something very beautiful about a people carrier because it provides function.
But the sports car is still gorgeous.
I know, but it's not yours anymore. Sexy. It's not in your realm anymore, so therefore you don't look at it.
So speaking of beautiful, James, have you got that video that I sent you yesterday? I want somebody to help me. First of all, this is not beautiful. This is the opposite of beautiful. But I want either Simpiwe or Ben to have a go at just translating what the hell this person is saying. All right, and pay no attention to what they look like, because otherwise you'll be completely distracted. So in other words, look only for a minute, because it's going to be a horrible experience to watch this and to actually see this person. But I more importantly want you to try and tell me what they're saying. Okay, this is apparently discernible. This is like street talk. It's 2025 talk. If you know what the hell this guy's on about, or this girl, I don't know what this is. If you know what this person is on about, then you get all the points. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Hey, say you on my finished product, done. You feel me? Real drip down, still don't come out of my life. I just took they wit and put it back in my head. That's why they bought. But I'm not. I quit after they stand they stoke, put in my hair on my murder, because I'm from the sky.
First and foremost, I can tell you we are all too old for that, Chad. We need to call Amos in, I promise you. He's the only one who can understand, you know what I'm saying? That is language of I'm a 2000, and nobody in this room right now is I'm a 2000, so please.
What the fuck was that?
Gareth, it's okay. It's not for your generation, I promise you. It's not for you. It's literally, even I, as the youngest person, you know, can tell you now.
Sims.
I'm 30, and it's not for me.
I don't think that's a language. I don't think that is discernible as a language to anyone. Like, there is going to be a tiny minority of people on planet Earth who are sentient and have linguistic abilities of any kind. There's going to be an absolute minimum of them who will even be able to decipher. That's like hieroglyphics to me.
I disagree. I can tell you now, there's an entire generation. They're 18, they're 19. They speak their own language. They're going to be like, what's the call? What's the call? Do you know what that means? Because why? It's not for us. I promise you guys, it's not our language. It's not for us to communicate in. It's a new generation. And we all look at them and we all like, what are you saying? But I promise you, call Amos. He will tell you exactly what that guy said. And he'll be like, oh. I feel him. In fact, I look up to him.
It's easy to make up your own shit language when you've got fuck all to say. Like, I probably had like 3 points of meaning within that gibberish there. We can also make up our own thing. Just as humans, you can communicate through like body language. That like probably said something about the fact that, you know, this garden's very nice.
All right. Seriously, try for me. Just humor me on this. Like, what do you think he was talking about? Wrong answers only.
I don't know. I think you were saying hello, what's up? You guys good, great, amazing. I don't know. After the first word, I was just spazzing. Didn't know what he said.
I literally think he's got hemorrhoids and he has no idea who to talk to about it because it's a older person disease.
Nope.
And he's the first person he's ever found out that he's got hemorrhoids. So he's ashamed. That's why
maybe
he talks
like
this.
Maybe he wants another tattoo. Did you see his face full of tattoos?
I think he's ashamed of hemorrhoids.
I think maybe it might be a tattoo chat. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's trying to get another tattoo, doesn't know where to get it. He wants advice. Or maybe he's trying to remove the tattoos. He also was very weird looking. No offense. But he was very weird looking. Like, No. It's a no for me.
Do you always like that fuck, though? I mean, let's really be honest. Like, do girls go, oh, you know what? Like, that's the guy.
Does he have money?
That's the one.
If he has money, I promise you, he's living his best life.
I got a short answer for this. No one, and this is now borne out by the research and the statistics, is like people of whatever that creature's age is, are not having sex. No one wants, they don't want to have sex with each other. No one wants to have sex with them. They're incapable of like any kind of physical interaction because unless there's a screen between them and the person, they actually don't know what to do. I don't think that person even has a dick.
Yeah. No, fair call.
That's a bit harsh.
No, I don't think it's a bit harsh. I think him talking or trying to talk is a bit harsh. So we've endured the harshness. We can come back with what we want here. We've paid the bills by listening to that shit.
Do me a favor, James, just for the the joy and the utter love and shared humanity and all the good things that could possibly come out. Just play it one more time.
No,
so everybody,
come on, guys, really.
No.
Hey, say you on my finished product, done. You feel real drip down, still don't come out of my life. I just took they wit, put it back in my head, and why they bow. But I'm not, I quit. I tell they Stanley Stoke, put in my head. I'm a murder, because I'm from the sky.
Absolutely hemorrhoids. His hemorrhoids look like his hair.
I heard a whoop. So that means car. Something about putting it in his hair. I don't know what's good. Like, woo!
Guys, he was saying he looks really nice. He's got some new drip and it matches with his car and his hair is on all this kind of stuff. And, you know, he's ready to go look at a screen with hemorrhoids.
I think you might be on the money there, both of you. But there's just a sadness to it. I really think, you know, again, I'm not the most religious guy in the world, but I can't help thinking of that story from the Tower of Babel. You remember that? Simpiwe, you're a good Christian. You go to church. You know what happened. The Tower of Babel, these people were building a tower to get to heaven so that they could be like God. They wanted to be like God and they wanted to ascend. So they tried to reach the heavens and built this enormous tower and God punished them. He struck them. Their language was disrupted and they all spoke gobbledygook that the others couldn't understand. Mm-hmm. And suddenly you had everybody that was just confounded and unable to in any way decipher what the other person was saying. And that's kind of where I think we are with this guy. I think it's the Tower of Babel all over again.
Although I'm looking forward to getting to the mumble rap section of the Bible now.
Oh, no, that's not happening. That's not not on God's watch. But I can tell you now that I'm glad that I don't have to be the one who has to try and understand that. I'm glad that I lived in a generation where we actually spoke proper English and we don't have to deal with the drip. No, I'm saying. Ew, I feel so old saying that. But I'm just saying, I'm saying I'm glad that I am a decent human and the generation after me is
Yes, as we spoke about last week for your 30th, you are a decent human. All coming together, you got all these wonderful attributes.
Thank you, Ben.
Yeah. All right. So a couple of things I want to talk about this morning. There's so much on everyone's agenda. So I saw that our parliament got together on, was it Thursday or was it Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday. Anyway, they got together. It's amazing, right? They're like, there are people who will tell you that South Africa is not the big thing in South Africa is like white people and black people. And then there'll be people who say, no, the thing about South Africa is poor people and rich people. And that's how we're divided. And that's how it's always going to be. Well, let me enter into evidence, Exhibit A, which is what happened in Parliament when they did this budget vote. So they need to approve the budget so that government can spend the money, but also so they can get the money. Okay, and if they don't do that, that's like a first step for a government. It needs to be able to do that. So we've got this thing called the GNU, which is the Government National Unity. Inside it's a whole bunch of parties. They love being in government. They get to have ministries. They get to be in charge of the bureaucracy, the executive arm of government. Here's what happened. The GNU broke down because, amazingly, right? The people who you, because they always tell you, these politicians, no, we won't work with those ones. We won't work with those ones. So what happened was the DA said, actually, we're not big fans of a VAT increase. Remember, a VAT increase, and we've discussed it on the show before, affects everybody. It affects everybody in a very negative way, because even if it's 0.5%, and Ben and Simpiwa will hear me out on this because they've sat in the studio and had this conversation with me about this very thing. Everybody gets hurt because everything gets more expensive. And we're not exactly a country that's booming at the moment. So if you are trying to live on the same amount of money that you earned last year or the year before, and most South Africans are, your money is less valuable. So already, thanks to inflation, everything's costing you more. Now they want to increase taxes because why? Because they've stolen everything. There's nothing left in the trough. So they have to increase taxes on us, just like everybody else passes on VAT increases to us. We are the ones, the suckers, the people at the end who have to pay more. Rich people, poor people, everybody pays more. It's fantastic. It's just wonderful. We all get poorer. And government, if you saw what happened in that vote, after they'd passed it by a majority of, I think, 19 votes, which is like a ball hair in Parliament, right? And it's thanks to Action SA, who thought they were going to stop the VAT increase, but actually had been hoodwinked by the ANC. They're so stupid in Action SA that they were basically rolled over. And they provided just enough votes, along with like Musi Maimane and other people like that, who went along with the government. By 19 votes, they passed this VAT increase, and you saw them dancing. They were dancing. They were singing. These guys were so happy that they're going to steal more tax money from us.
Oh. It's absolutely frustrating.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Okay, so I got a couple of things I want to ask on that. So is now the DA still like the evil party to some people? They seem the only ones that want to step up to the plate here for everyday people. But are they still persona non grata because they're white?
Yes. And you think...
Sorry, just in case anyone's getting this wrong, and this is why I led this conversation by saying South Africa is not this binary place where it's black versus white or rich versus poor. Because guess who the other parties were who didn't vote yes? It was the DA, MK, and the EFF. Now, there's an interesting combination you didn't think was going to happen in your lifetime. Those three parties. Yeah, those are the ones who stood up for us, the voters and the... They're the parties who said, you know what? Actually, I don't think this is right. We're not going to vote with this budget. Everyone else says you should pay more.
But you know what's even more frustrating? Because I did watch a part of that parliamentary meeting that they had, because it's 6 hours long. But I watched that particular snippet, and I think I sent that to James, is that the Minister of Finance spoke before they voted. And he was basically saying that they don't have any alternatives to VAT increase. How are they supposed to get this money? And this money is going to go to this area, and this area in order to fix the economy. And I think for me, that's just, it was arrogant speaking. I am not an accountant, but I do know there's various ways to collect money. Increasing taxes and VAT is not always the only solution out there. And so this is very lazy thinking, and they don't want to do anything but to actually put in work and put in time to come up with different solutions for a country that desperately needs something else other than a VAT increase. And then for the fact that they rejoice, I was so mad. I was like, yeah, this country, the people in parliament do not care for its people. It's all about them and their pockets, because as we get poorer, they get richer. And that's sad.
But I think it's quite a monumental thing to see who voted for that. So when we say these politicians, we can actually not be so general anymore. It is that cancerous.
I can tell you exactly. I wrote it down, because now these people need to go. All of them. I'll tell you now. It was obvious, ANC, because they don't care for us.
But these are enemies of people, right?
Yes. It was the IFP. It was the PA. It was RISE and Action SA. All of those people voted for the VAT increase, and they rejoiced. Hala, 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 hala.
Yeah, correct. Well, you see, I don't think you're the only one who wrote them down, who actually noted the names, because they actually went parliamentarian by parliamentarian, all 400 of them, I think. Mm. And they all had to say which way they voted. And you should have heard some of them, yes, when they were voting for an increase. Because, this is great. We can take more, squeeze the blood out of the taxpayers, make them pay the people of South Africa. Yes. They were going around there and they were so excited to say yes. And then that celebration afterwards just made me sick.
Yeah.
No.
Honourable members, the outcome of the division is as follows. There were no abstentions. 182 voted against and 194 voted in favour. Honourable members. Honourable members.
So there we go. I've been watching.
I didn't think I was going to get upset today, but here we are.
Sorry, man. It's very upsetting that people are rejoicing at the fact that we're going to pay more taxes.
Can we go back to Hemorrhoid Guy? Listen to what he's got to say.
Yeah, I would.
Hey, say your mama. Finished product done. If you really drip down, still don't come out and put my lie. I just took they wit, put it back in my head, and why they bow. But I'm not. I quit after they strand, they stoke, put in my hair. I'm a murderer, cause I'm from the sky.
Jesus. Wow. All right. So there are people in the comments saying some things that I think we're all thinking. Bitcoin Butt saying, clapping for our demise. There's nothing honorable about those members, says Sianda. I think that's spot on. Dirk Kutsia says, it's like the employees getting to vote if they should get increases or bonuses. There's only going to be one outcome. Well, someone said quite rightly, it's like the, you're letting the wolves decide what's going to happen to the sheep. Mm. And they're all thrilled because it's feast time, right? That's what it is. And then a couple other comments that I thought were true too. The ANC need to understand, this is from Patrick, they need to understand they don't own this country. Hence, I say, even if it's temporary, boot them out of government totally. It is possible. Well, listen, I mean, if you've ever thought that your vote doesn't matter, especially when we're building coalition governments and they're going to fall apart or they're going to stick together, it does matter, guys. I'm the first one to say you mustn't let government ruin your day, okay? Because you don't have to have them in your life all the time. But I'm afraid when it comes to, rands and cents in your pocket, this is where they matter. And they can pass changes to the law like this. I know that there are people who are going to, I think the DA is now fighting this in court or whatever. But the courts are slow. It's going to take a long time for them to sort this problem out. In the meantime, we're going to have to, what they say in Afrikaans, kak and betal. That's what it is. And do you think, by the way, do you think one minister is going to take a pay cut because they couldn't raise the money?
Never that. Never that. In fact, they're going to give you excuses and try justify why they need an increase in terms of security, why they must get an increase in terms of their bonuses and how much they get paid. Because according to them, they actually get paid peanuts and they do so much for the country. They're going to try justify a whole lot of nonsense because they're going to go out and do all these meetings now. And we're going to spend trillions and billions because they can't decide whether or not they want to go left or right. Yeah, they're just going to... It's actually frustrating that these people... Hey, man, how they spend money, how they just think that... Yeah, for them, money grows on trees. And we are the trees. So
I think what's sad. I think what's also quite sad, if you look at that massive room there, like a 6,000 rand a month intern and ChatGPT-4 could do pretty much most of that room now.
Yes.
Like cover whatever they're meant to be. Like, that's it. We could.
So the one, just to show you how right you are, Ben, the one check, and believe me, I don't normally watch this stuff. I only watch it because I know we're going to have to talk about it on the show. So the one girl from the PA, she walked in after they'd locked the doors. Now, you know, in Parliament, they have rules and procedures. You wouldn't think it looking at those people. And by the way, it's the most terrible thing to hear them because none of them knows how to use a microphone. Oh, yeah. They all talk. One of them knows how to use a microphone properly. And they pick the thing up and they shout and they scream and point of order or...
Hello, I just had to say that the ANC attack.
Whatever it is, it's so bad. But the rule is that once they lock the door, it's a term they use, so that they can begin a vote, you may not come in or go out. So that they can be sure that all the people who are going to vote are people who are meant to vote, the actual MPs, right? Mm. And this one chick from the PA, she came back in after the bell had been rung. So the speaker said, "No, you can't sit there." And then there was like a whole 15-minute thing about whether she can or whether she can't, because obviously it was a really close vote, so every vote counted. And this chick was like, "No, I'm a sit down. I'm just going to carry on as if nothing happened." Speaker's like, "No, I'm sorry. You got to get out." And to Ben's point, like, you know, a grade four kid, these are the rules that you have to follow at school, right? Mm. When the bell goes, if you're not in class, you are late.
Yes.
And the teacher will sometimes kick you out of class because you're late. Isn't that like you learned that at primary school? I learned that at primary school. Everybody knows that rule. This girl from PA clearly did not. So she had to get up and leave. But it's all so embarrassing because this isn't a serious business, Parliament. Even if they look like they're a bunch of fucking morons, they're meant to be serious people and they're meant to be the people we have elected to represent us. Well, as Simpiwe said, like we're the trees and they just think money grows on trees. So they're shaking and chopping and breaking the trees instead of realizing that if you look after the trees and you actually do what you're there to do, which is protect them, make sure they've got some sun and some water and that you give them the best opportunity to flourish, guess what's going to happen? The tree's going to eventually stop growing money.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Then we've got, it's not a parliament. This is from Congo Chris. Our parliament is a smoldering husk, which is also true. Because every time they have one of these meetings, I'm like, you guys are like the pretend theater kid version of members of parliament because you're not even in parliament. Someone burnt that place down and it's still not fixed.
Imagine.
A meeting in a tent.
So embarrassed. Like
a meeting in a marquee like you would use for a funeral.
These people,
it's so embarrassing. Just embarrassing. All right, so let's move on to much more happy things because it is Friday and the weekend is here and there's all kinds of exciting stuff happening. So, I do want to get this mention in quickly because it's something that I've put on social media already. But I'm going to a little fundraiser, and it's also just a little bit of a trip down memory lane, a bit of nostalgia, which is always fun. There are going to be all kinds of faces and voices that you know from the past there as well. And I thought it might be fun to let you know on the show here this morning. We're doing a party for Darren Scott, who was a guest on this show not so long ago, actually, just a couple of months ago. And Darren's been very ill. He's got all sorts of health complications, you know, none of which anyone would want. And we're just doing a little fundraiser stroke party of support to show him a little bit of moral support too, because he's going through a bit of a shitty time. And it gives us an excuse to get together. I saw DJ Fresh last weekend, and he'll be there again on Saturday. It's at that Prison Break Market in Lone Hill, which is very cool. It's on that, it's on that main Lone Hill Road, and there'll be all kinds of people there that you haven't seen for a long time. I'm just looking at the poster now. It's like you got me, you got Fresh, Leanne Moll will be popping by too, because she's she's definite for a long time. She was on his show before she was on mine, which is cool. Who else is going to be there? We've got F and Martinengo, Sasha and Ian. We've also got Kurt Darren popping in, Tony Blewett, Barney Simon, ooh, Alex J. It's going to be like a, this is like an OGs meeting from radio and even some people from TV who worked with Darren. Nas Buerta may make an appearance. Who knows? Could be quite exciting, because I mean, you know that.
What a throwback. Yeah?
If Nas is going to be there, I'm in.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, that's where the saying, but on the other hand, Darren comes from. It's from Darren and Nas talking on Bootsicle those years ago. So any rugby fan would know where that comes from. So that's from 4 p.m. onwards on the Saturday the 5th, which is tomorrow. So come along if you're keen. And there are tickets available on Quicket, apparently. So if you follow my social media, if you're on X or on Instagram, you'll have got those links. Take a look there, and we'll see you on Saturday. It should be fun. It's all for a good cause too. That's my weekend plan. I don't have any others, so it's going to be nice and relaxed. And if the weather is rainy and cloudy and miserable, then the best thing to do is to like sit at home, right? Grab a blanket. It's getting colder. Yes. Sit there, watch some series. Oh, I finished White Lotus 3, by the way.
I'm almost there.
The latest episode, there's still one to come, because they haven't solved like any murders or any of the crap they started in the first episode.
There's murders?
But
don't ruin it for Ben.
Remember how it starts? And again, I'm not going to spoiler anything here. The first episode, there are gunshots and nobody knows what's going on. And you don't know who's got the gun. You don't know who's got the bullets. Who knows what's going on? There are a couple of guns that have made their way around too in the course of the show. It's on, from my point of view, on episode 7. So episode 8 still has to come out.
I'm on episode 5. Look, it's a bit.
Have
of
you seen
a,
any?
It's a bit of a cinematographic circle joke until you get to the end. Like, you know, these things are crescendoing into a way. But they've got a good formula. It's a very good show. Yeah.
Well, I think this guy, White, who he's the director and producer, and he's the writer of this thing as well. Very, very clever guy, obviously. Understands how to make a good story. And the characters are very good. I mean, I liked the first White Lotus because it was completely new. And you know, it's like a short-form whodunit. Yeah. Like an Agatha Christie, almost. But it's rich people in a resort. So it's very beautiful. They've got beautiful establishing shots of like these gorgeous beaches, and you know, the first one was in Maui, I think, and the second one was in Italy. I never really got into, so I think I gave up on it halfway. But this one I'm into, and I think it's great. It's the casting is just awesome. I've got some really good actors who play the parts so well. You know, like there's this grumpy dude who he's got this girlfriend who's a bit toothy, but he's such a miserable son of a bitch. And he just wants to avenge his dad who was killed. And there's his mom who keeps popping pills to calm her down, but she's basically in a daze the whole time. Then her husband, the dad, ends up like basically he takes over her pill habit and he steals her pills. And then she just starts drinking. I mean, it's like the most incredible microcosm of what so many of these rich families. They have real problems. I mean, everybody goes, oh, no, it's only poor people that have problems. These rich people have such fucking problems. They're all so screwed up, all of them. And then, you know, they're these three chicks who are together. The one girl's like some famous TV star. There's so many things in it that just made me think, wow, this guy kind of gets where culture's at the moment, too. Because like those three girls who are girlfriends, they start off and they all love each other and they keep saying things like, oh my God, I love you so much. It's so great to be on holiday with you. Vacation. Yeah, and they all like, they say, you know, like you've seen this, Simpiwa, you know, when girls are actually deep down inside, they're jealous of each other. They're comparing who looks the best. They're comparing who's got the best husband, who's got the best life, who's got the best, who's got the most money, who's wearing the nicest dress. But they never talk about it. They pretend they just love it. Oh my God, you're looking so amazing. That kind of shit. And it slowly unravels with these three girls until they get to a point where they're actually starting to be honest with each other. And then the claws come out, man. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to the old saying that women will say the nicest things to each other's faces and the most horrible thing behind their backs, whereas guys will say the most horrible things to each other's faces. But behind our backs, right, we always say good things.
But are you enjoying the show? Because I think it's pretty good, Ben.
Gareth, I haven't watched a TV show in probably 3-4 years. You know, because I'm just a nerd. I watch YouTube and golf. But yeah, it's pretty good. It's a bit slow, but I'm forcing myself into like do it just so I know what other people's problems are in life. You know, because I live in an absolute bubble. So this way, I get to watch things and go, oh.
You want to be able to relate with the masses,
eh? I want to be a people of the a person of the people, Simpiwe. Couldn't even say that sentence, but here I am. We're going to do that. Yeah, I mean, look, we mentioned it last week on the show. It's like, it's funny because it highlights the things that make people really upset about themselves. Like that scene when those trouts go to that other hotel because they're looking for a bit of a jaw, but they realize it's an old person's hotel, and they're like, oh, hell no, we're still young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they went partying with Russians.
Which is everybody's idea of a fun time, right? Did you know that the rich son is Arnold Schwarzenegger's real-life son? Yeah.
Yes.
So that's Traveling Ninja Turtle in the comments bringing that up. That's Patrick Schwarzenegger.
But going to you guys were talking about with the ladies, it's actually called backhanded compliments.
Yes,
and they start off very mild in terms of, oh, hey, you look pretty, you're so nice, and has a bit of a high pitch. And then it gets worse as they spend more time together, where they're like, if I'm in a room with somebody that I don't like, I'll be like, oh, that's a great dress for someone with your body.
Yes.
And it's a very backhanded
compliment. I didn't expect that color to work on you.
Yes. Like, I wouldn't wear that, you know, but...
you're doing well.
Yeah, you make that look fabulous. And they say things like that where it's not... they're not insulting you outright, but it's not a compliment as well. And they say that enough times for you to start picking up. And then that's when you start seeing women really... and then fight.
So, Sabiru, are you saying that women should be more women on corporate boards then? This is the behavior that they sort of default to.
I think so, you know, personally. Yeah. I think so. But I also think it's one of those things where if you have someone who's a bit confrontational, someone who says something like that, after they say that first backhanded compliment, she's going to confront you and be like, excuse me, what are you about? What's this? And that's how you then get like, oh, girls don't like each other. It's like, no, you're being very rude.
Well,
and I'm calling you out. I mean, you do.
So I'm not in any way saying that all friendships with women are like those three girls, because I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
But these three are a pretty useful example of what does happen in there, because they're three of them. What happens is, as soon as the one gets up to go and get a drink or she goes to the loo or whatever, the other two gossip about her. Then she sits down and one of the other girls get up. And then the other two, you know, the one who was all the whole time and the other one who went to the bathroom, now they start gossiping about the other one who's gone. And so it moves like around the circle like this. And what you find out is that this one says, ah, my God, you know, she chose her career over having a family. And that's why she's so unhappy. Then the other one's like, well, you chose fame over over settling down and having a husband. And then the third one is, well, you chose your family, so you don't have success. It's just, it's wild to me because they do zero in, even though it's fiction, they zero in on what often happens. Like, and I've seen this happen sometimes because, you know, occasionally your girlfriends don't realize, and I've got a few friends who are girls. Mostly my friends are guys, because you know, you talk about guy things. But the friends I have that are girls, they don't even realize they're doing this sometimes. And it comes from, it's a natural thing, and I totally understand it. So I don't think it's a a personality flaw or an evil, ugly characteristic that they're consciously trying to gossip and to do the whole Mean Girls thing. But this happens because women are actually extremely hierarchical. Like, they're always trying to figure out who fits into the hierarchy where. Where am I as opposed to that one? Because it's competition, right? And you're competing for men, you're competing for status. Everybody always goes, men are competitive with each other, obviously. But there's also a competitive streak in women. And they are like that. It's not a bad thing. I don't judge it as being particularly good or bad. It can be turned into good by creating productive, driven, amazingly successful people in some ways. And it can be turned into bad by people who are obsessed with what others are doing and where they fit in compared to them, and only being bitter and resentful about stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're all natural things that we all have. I think modern life makes our natural traits just fuck out quite a lot. So women will do that kind of stuff. You talk about hierarchies, and a lot of the time they're just meant to try to find mates because it's the reproductive thing. But you take it off the table, and now you're looking for social status. Then you get the bitchiness. Then you get all the other shit coming out because it's like an instinct of a trivial shit.
I just want to prove something. So Lee did what I just said at the beginning of the show when Simpiwe did this. I don't compete with anyone. I'm just listening to the conversation. Lee immediately thought it was about her. She's like, I don't compete with anyone. You should only compete with yourself. Put it on the screen so everyone can see that. There we go. See what I'm telling you?
It's not a good day to be a woman. Damn it.
Always a good day to be a woman.
To add to that, to what you're saying, Gareth, I think the truth is a lot of the times women feel like they have to go, they have to pick a particular path for life, which is most of the time get married, have kids, right? Sure. And there's a bit of a jealousy when you see somebody else who kind of had maybe a similar upbringing to you, who gets to choose a different path. And you like the examples you made, like the one is like, you got to choose family over fame. It's like, for her, it's like, fame, it makes sense. Like, you know, if you're famous, you're well known, it's this and that, but you chose family. I don't understand it. And that's kind of where the bitchiness comes in, because it's like, I don't understand how you could pick that over this. And then the other one's like, well, I picked money over that because it's like, it makes sense for me. And somebody's like, that doesn't make sense. That's not how you're supposed to do it. That's not the path to what a lot of people deem success is for women.
Yeah, I just need to quote the internet. Everyone should just applaud until it's their turn. Stop with this. Stop with this fucking, oh, you've got this shit, or I didn't expect you to have that. Fuck off. Just do work hard and be supportive. You'll be amazed how that stuff comes back to you.
We have a term in South Africa for that. Jealous down, right?
Hey, jealous down.
Jealous down. If you want to be unhappy, if you want to spend your whole life being grumpy, sad, disappointed, depressed, miserable, all of those adjectives go together, right? The surefire way to do that is to spend your whole life comparing yourself to everyone. There is such a thing as healthy competition. And this, again, is not a gender thing, because guys and girls are the same in this respect. There are people who set up a goal for themselves, and they may base that goal on someone else's achievement, which is great. And I encourage you to have people who you can look up to, good role models. But if you find yourself pursuing things because of jealousy over others, that is just a path to the dark side of the force, and you're never going to be happy. Like, yeah. Your whole life is just going to be filled with misery, because you're always trying to hold up your version of things to someone else's. And like Simpiwe says, circumstances get in the way, right? It's not always cut and dried. Some people seem to have an easier path, and some people's path just seems to be so much harder. And with fairness, it's down to choices. And you've got to live with those choices, because you can't have it all. You can't have everything. Unfortunately, and this is something that came up in America this week, there are two women who are members of Congress in America. I want to know what you guys think of this. So they both have newborn babies. So Sims, this might remind you of a situation. Okay. Now, they want to be able to be members of Congress from home. And there's an interesting debate that's come out as a result of this, because there are a couple of people who say, yeah, that's fair, because, you know, this is the time when their infant child is the most vulnerable. They need mom around. And then there are a group of people who say, no, actually, you've got to make a choice here. And the choice is yours. You're a strong, independent woman. You can go ahead and make this choice. But if it's too hard to be a mom and to pitch up for work, then you got to choose. Then you got to choose either work and find a babysitter, or like you're doing this morning, for example, Sims, you chose to be at work, so you've got someone to look after your baby. And that's tough. Of course it is. It's hard. It carries a whole lot of really, really hard emotional baggage with it, because all moms, even if you've been there for like the first 3 months in you know, complete concentration, there's going to be a point where you're like, I got to get to work because I got to earn some money. And then there are those people who say, well, you got to choose motherhood, which means if you're in a position where you're married or you've got a huge family structure that can help you out, then that's possible for some women. But for some, it just isn't, right? Yes. Choices.
Mm, that's very true. So I was listening to this podcast this week, and they basically said you can't have it all at once, right? You can be a great mom, you can have a great career, you can live a really great life, but know that those things are going to happen in different phases of your life. And the reality is that once you become a mom, or even become a wife, it changes, and some of the things that you thought you might experience at this particular time might not happen. And that's the reality of it. And you just have to kind of be like, I'm dealing with it, or not dealing with it. But also with the Congress ladies, I know in America, their healthcare system or setup, whatever, is horrendous in terms of like maternity leave and stuff, where, you know, after giving birth, they basically go back to work. So in that regard, I'm like, I think they need to do better. Maybe give moms that have just had kids a bit of time, you know, to recover. Like physically, you need 6 weeks to recover after giving birth, to give them that time. But after that, hey, Sway, it's up to you. It's either you go to work or you stay home with your kid and be a housewife. Finish and laugh. That's it.
It's not an easy one to answer. I think also it comes down to, you know, what's possible and what isn't, because everything in life is a trade-off. Everything. You can't have everything. And this is not just true in the examples that we're talking about now. It's true in every case. There are people who work 24/7 and they sacrifice being with their family, watching their kids grow up. They sometimes have an affair with a secretary, and like, it's a mess, but they have
okay, don't
have
add billions that part.
But I mean, what I'm saying is it's all choices, right? So they, instead of being loyal to their wife and to their family, they're not thinking about them because they don't see them because they're at the office all the time. So they're having the affair, but they've got all this money. And then people go, oh, it must be so nice to be that person. Meanwhile, the choices they've made are trade-offs. There's no perfect solution here. And that goes for careers. It goes for, you know, pursuing love. It goes for the kind of holidays you go on, the kind of things you spend your money on, the kinds of things you eat, the kind of stuff you do in your spare time. It's all trade-offs. There is no perfect solution. So for anybody who thinks like there's a roadmap and you will tick all the boxes, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen. Every decision you make carries negative and positive consequences.
Yeah, and also understanding that no matter where you are or what you have in life, you have something to trade, because time's still important. Like, you can do amazing things if you just put time on it. People are so frustrated and so down on themselves because they are so jealous a lot of the time too. Mm. This is all demographics. Is that they forget that they've actually got so much. It's amazing what you can do with 5 years of your life. You can turn around so much stuff. You can learn so much. You can be so much.
Mm. Well, one of the questions that's coming up quite a lot on the show these days, Ben, is you're dressing very smartly. We've noticed this on the Bounce show. We've noticed it here on this show.
Oh, thank you.
You're wearing jackets. What's going on here?
yeah, Gareth, I guess just nothing. I'm 43 years old. Be realistic about who I am, what I do, what I look like. That's pretty much it.
So nothing prompted this like change in style?
Not really, guys. To be honest with you,
swagger.
No, just kind of ran out of like shit stuff to wear, maybe. I don't know.
That's good. I think it's so good. I had to wear a tuxedo last night, a black tie. Yeah, you know, it feels good to dress up. Listen, the best thing is getting home and taking that shit off, putting on other clothes. But it's nice to do that every now and then. And you do feel, I think that you take yourself a little more seriously if you dress a little more seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You agree, Simpia?
Yes. No, my saying in life, don't look like your problems.
Yes,
do not look like your problems.
Yes.
Like, show up. Like, you might be going through it. Like, the world might be coming to an end, but I promise you, do not look like your problems. That's step one in you getting over the situation or overcoming the situation, because things pass. You know, season comes, season goes, but I promise you, do not look like your problems.
Yeah, be the change you want to see in the world.
I know, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you imagine.
So here are a couple of compliments. We always do this, and usually it's Sims who's getting the compliments, but today it's Ben on this issue of dressing. Everyone wants success. Nobody's willing to sacrifice to make it happen, 100%. Mm-hmm. Gareth. Ben looks like a Miami mogul, says Gray. Lee says blue steel. This is Ben's hunting outfit, says Vyasin.
Vyasin? Can I tell you what? This isn't outdoor clothing.
Girls.
No, this is outdoor shotgun material.
Also, a good point made by Lee here. She says, that is the thing about winter. You can dress much more nicely.
Yeah, well said.
South African climate doesn't lend itself to dressing, you know, in suits and in the ladies' case, like really going to town on dresses and outfits. Because we like to dress according to our climate. We like to dress nice and relaxed and casual in summer. Mm. It's comfortable, you know, in the heat. Ben needs to do a stand and turn so that we can do an outfit check.
Come on, let's go off, King. Come on, let's see that drip. Let's see the drip.
Do we have cameras for such a thing? We don't, really.
Oh, you can stand up now. Let's go, King. You know? Give us a bit of a twirl, swirl. He walked off screen. And look at Ben coming back. Look at him.
That doesn't make sense. All right. You asked for it. You asked for it, audience. Don't let it never be said that on this show you don't get what you want. All right. You demand stuff, and even if it doesn't make sense, there we go. You just did the.
Thank you.
Just
show, just, he's such a trooper, Ben.
Sorry. Ben, do the stupid walk again. I don't know if. There we go. That's fantastic.
Now you see him, now you don't. There goes Ben.
All right, guys, it's 7 o'clock. We got to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is the Gareth Cliff Show. Simpiwe, Ben, and I, and lots more to come in the next hour. Don't go anywhere.